if each of the three guests could kind of give a quick overview of where you are with Fedora 4 upgrades and how it possibly relates with RDF metadata. And maybe we can go from there, and I guess we can start with Adam.
Sure. So as far as the general picture of upgrades, we're slowly bringing online production repositories and actually not using them in the context of creating description as yet, but moving towards that. I think UVA is in a slightly different place than a lot of Fedora 3 using institutions. Maybe not all, but a lot, because for many, many years now, we've invested very, very heavily in making sure that structural metadata is RDF, has always been RDF, really. A lot of descriptive metadata, we've used, I'm sure, very similar things to what you guys are using at Yale, typically available in XML models. But for the relationships between resources, we've always used RDF, and we've always heavily, heavily atomized our resources. In other words, for us, a book has always been a collection of pages. There's always been a very careful focus on what used to be called complex modeling. That's kind of an out-of-date term now. But so when we come to Fedora 4, moving to RDF for us, there's parts of it that we just don't really do anything, really, about. The structural arrangements in our repositories transfer more or less as they are. Of course, we'll be improving them and using LDP, using the linked data platform facilities more elegantly and to automate processes. But by and large, the vocabularies are there. Descriptive metadata, I suspect that's probably more what you guys are interested in. But descriptive metadata is a little different for us. It's much as it is elsewhere. It tends to be record-based as opposed to assertion-based. It tends to be associated with resources, intellectual resources, and not technical resources, so the book and not the pages. And like everyone else, we've faced faced challenges over the years factoring, as I would say as a technologist, factoring the metadata properly so that we make assertions about the right ontological construct, so the collection, the resource, some part of the resource, so forth. We haven't done a whole lot to advance that in the Fedora 3 world. We have begun to look at what we could do in Fedora 4. And the big example that's popped out for a number of reasons, firstly, just because it's pressing, and secondly, because we have folks who are interested in working on it, as is so often the way with these things, is actually audiovisual materials, where we have a particularly bright young archivist who's very engaged with the efforts around PBCore and around EBUCore to try to use RDF descriptive forms for that kind of material. And he's also of the opinion shared by many in his community that a lot of the record-based formulations that are available and that are often used in the library world just aren't very good for AV material. And he's convinced me, and he's convinced a lot of other folks around here of that. So that's a place where we are looking, particularly with EBUCore, are looking to actually start trying out some of these capabilities. And we have begun creating simple forms of description, really more example work than anything else. And I don't think we have anything that's in production that patrons are actually using right now. So that's where we are. The majority of effort that's gone into actually doing any kind of work with Fedora 4 is mostly us looking at the capabilities it has to deal with bitstreams, with opaque resources, not with description, not with metadata. And we'll move on to that as we have more interest and more time, of course. But that's just where it looked like we could find the most profit the most quickly. You may or may not realize Mike Durbin, who is our repository manager, who works for a colleague of mine here at UVA, actually wrote the migration utility that is available as part of Fedora 4's main development effort. And so we're interested in getting that tool finely honed before we really begin deploying it in mass here at UVA. So does that sound like kind of what you guys were asking about? Is that the right topic there?
Yeah, no, I think that's good. And actually, I never put the development of that tool with you guys. So that was actually a good link. I didn't realize that.
We'll segue that there if you want.
We'll see. Yeah. Julie?
Hi, sorry. I was muted. Can you all hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
Yep.
I'm Julie Hardesty. I'm the metadata analyst at Indiana University, and I don't have a lot of Fedora technical knowledge, or as much as probably others on the call here, but I can speak to metadata considerations moving into RDF, and particularly dealing with descriptive. So IU right now is on Fedora 3 for everything in production. We don't have anything that's literally in production in Fedora 4. We do have an experiment that is moving towards productionization, I guess you could call it. It's a system using SUFIA with Fedora 4, and it's for the Center for Biological Research Collections here at IU. And it's a system that's going to be dealing with two-dimensional images as well as three-dimensional images. And 3D images are a new thing for us to have in our repository. So there's some new things happening with that. Right now we're on SUFIA 6. And we're running into some things that we think of, mostly trying to have multiple files on a single object is still a complicated thing in SUFIA 6. So we're wanting to upgrade to SUFIA 7 for that reason. But we have that site working with the RDF vocab gem to make use of Darwin Core in RDF. And that is descriptive information that we're actually pulling out of the system that the Center for Biological Research Collections uses when tracking their physical items. So we're getting descriptive information coming in that way and mapping it over to Darwin Core and RDF through SUFIA. So SUFIA is actually doing a lot of the hard work for that for us in terms of RDF descriptive metadata. So that's kind of one example. The much bigger thing that we're dealing with is in that migration of content that we have right now in Fedora 3. And what we tend to deal with in terms of descriptive metadata is mods. And it's similar to UVA situation where we're dealing with descriptive metadata that's intellectually based. So it's about the book and it's not about the page. So that information will be a mods XML bitstream, data stream, on objects in Fedora, and trying to figure out how we're going to bring that over. And I've been involved with the mods RDF working group within the Hydra community. We're basically looking at mods element by element to consider if we had to convert that or work with that data in RDF today, how would we bring that over? What ontology would we use? Would we want to bring it over? Is it possible that there's some descriptive information that we would not want to bring over? And we've worked through name and title, and we're dealing in physical description and dates, and notes as well. And we're looking at subjects at this point. And so far, we seem to be, in terms of IU's material, we've been able to find solutions that will work as a path to convert from mods XML over into RDF. And none of it really has shown us that anything with mods RDF that's available would work very well for us. So we're looking at patching together different ontologies to express that same descriptive information. So trying to consider what that means for our objects when we move them from Fedora 3 into Fedora 4, if we want all of that descriptive information in RDF using a mix of ontologies, or if we want to do something different with that. And I'm not exactly sure what the different options are for that, but I'm considering things like not bringing everything over into RDF properties on objects, but having a baseline of descriptive information expressed as RDF, and then still bringing over the static mods XML as more of an idea of a complete view. And what we'd be dealing with it for RDF properties would only be things in descriptive metadata that need to be used for search and discovery. So that sort of thing. We're thinking about what's being faceted and what sorts of things we want to have indexed for discoverability and expressing those as RDF. So those are some of the things I'm thinking about in terms of descriptive metadata in RDF moving forward. And I think the other thing that I wanted to mention is that Indiana University is also involved in the development of Avalon Media System. That's one of the Hydra heads that's being developed. And right now it's only on Fedora 3. But we've actually recently this week took the first steps to approach Fedora 4. You might have seen a message go out on the listservs about we basically took Mike Durbin's migration gem from UVA and did a test run with that on a Fedora 3 instance that is being used for Avalon to see if it would work and get information, get the objects moved over into a Fedora 4 repository. And there is a GitHub that's out there. I can paste that in to the chat if that would be helpful. So you can see the instructions, the steps that they went through. And it was something that I was actually able to try and do myself. So I even have a Fedora 4 repository with some Avalon data that's been converted from Fedora 3 over into Fedora 4. And the process that we used there for this was to just take the objects as they are, bring them over. There's no relationships, so everything is flat. We lost all the structure at this point. So we still have to figure out how to bring relationship information in. And we also did not do any descriptive metadata conversion. It's in mods XML right now, and we didn't bring any descriptive metadata over into RDF. So we have that. We have the mods XML still as a file, a non-RDF resource on the objects that are created in Fedora 4. But Avalon content was able to be migrated over using that gem from Fedora 3 to Fedora 4. So that was something that recently happened. And in looking at what I've seen so far of the metadata in Fedora 4, everything came over as we were expecting it to. Except for the fact that, you know, none of the structure for a media object that contains multiple files. Those files are all just level with everything else in the repository. There's no sense of an object that contains files at this point. So does that kind of give you an idea of where we're coming from at IU and the work we're doing?
Yeah, I thought that was really good. It's actually great to hear about the Avalon work too.
And Mike Durbin actually used to work at Indiana University before he went to UVA, so we have some Mike Durbin experience flowing through here.
No, that's great. Hey, Hector.
Hi, I'm Hector Correa. I'm a software developer at Penn State. I am not nearly as well versed on metadata as Julie or Adam. My experience with RDF has been working on Penn State institutional repository, ScholarSphere, which is a hierarchy running on Fedora 4. I started working on ScholarSphere just as we were transitioning from Fedora 3 to Fedora 4. So I didn't have a lot of experience with Fedora 3, but I did participate in the development of the version that runs on Fedora 4. This is the institutional repository for Penn State, so it's self-deposit content. The migration that we did, one of my coworkers, Adam Weed, which some of you might know, I know Julie knows Adam. He wrote a Ruby gem that actually took our data from Fedora 3 and dumped it into Fedora 4. Some of the data was kept as they were. Some of them was kept as XML streams. Some others were converted to RDF. I know in particular access rights were converted to web access controls from whatever we had in Fedora 3. And some other things were converted. Simple mappings were done. But some data was kept in the original format. The application ScholarSphere is a, as I said, it's a self-deposit institutional repository. We had about 3,000 documents at the time we did the migration. So this is not our catalog. This is not something as big as some of the other projects that people are working with Fedora. That's probably all I have right now. I mean, the migration for us was simple in the sense that we have very little data, and this is self-deposit, so there is not as much emphasis on the metadata. For better or for worse, we didn't spend as much time thinking about our modeling as people are doing with PCDM, for example. But there's a lot of thought put behind what would be a good vocabulary to represent data. We just mapped the data from Fedora 3 to Fedora 4 the best we could and got the system running. It's been running. It's been with Fedora 4 for more than a year now. Going well. We're working on what Julia alluded to, upgrading to Sophia 7 to be able to support multi-file works. But we are still running on Sophia 6 right now in production, but that's using Fedora 4.
Oh, that's really good. So I guess with that, maybe we can just open it up for questions. Anyone on our end want to start?
Hi, this is Lisa Conathan. Can you guys hear me? Yeah, okay, this is Lisa Conathan. I'm head of digital services at Beinecke. And I just wanted to ask Julie, you talked about bringing over a subset of the metadata fields, and specifically search and discovery metadata fields. And I was wondering if you could explain that dependency there, you know, why you would choose those specific ones to bring over into RDF. Just kind of, can you spell that out for me?
Well, my thought process might not be correct here, but what I'm thinking is that if we have in Fedora 4, the properties that we want to express on the object itself, we're going to want to make use of those properties somehow, and search and discovery is, you know, I'm thinking that that's how we want to be able to identify what our search and discovery fields are, and that may not be right. And then I'm thinking, you know, if we've got mods XML that has a lot more information in it, but things that we wouldn't be indexing on, things that we wouldn't be faceting on, that's more, you know, in a normal, older, I don't know, traditional search and discovery interface, you'd have full text indexing that would still be going through all of that. But if we're going to encounter this problem where we can't really, we're having a hard time finding properties to express all of those details that we have in mods XML, that focusing on what we want for search and discovery would be useful. And I feel like, I don't know if this is correct, but I think that the things that we want to put into and we want to be able to index, it'd be easier in Fedora 4 to get to those if they are RDF properties, as opposed to being in a data stream, a binary file on the object. So that may not be right.
Can I just second that last assertion that Julie just made about here's how I would put it. Getting access to that information is going to be a lot more natural in Fedora 4 if you've got it broken out into the RDF, into the graph, as I would say. You know, there's nothing stopping you from getting information out of the repository. It's a question of how much work you're going to do that. And if you are able to produce that kind of information, in this case, discovery bit, you know, stuff, in the graph, then you're going to be able to use the tools that the core development effort is trying to bring forward for just that purpose. The indexing tools, the asynchronous message-based tools, that kind of gear. It's going to be built for you. It's going to be community-maintained. If you are working from, more opaque sorts of ways of putting description into the repository, you're going to find more of the responsibility for managing that, you know, devolving locally. And that may be fine. That may be just a price you pay for other good things. But I think Julie's got the right intuition there. It's worth seconding.
Yeah, thank you. You said it much better. I did.
Well, more lengthily anyway.
I think maybe to, this is Mark, I'm an archivist and metadata coordinator at the Beinecke. I don't know if either of you could talk to, I think I'm going back again to the distinction maybe Julie you were making before about really honing in on using RDF for metadata that you want to use for search and access, but maybe there's other aspects of the metadata that's just more for display purposes or could be used for more research purposes outside of your digital library system. So I'm thinking of things like TEI or, you know, other types of highly structured data. And I'm just curious if any of you guys are using that in your Fedora systems, TEI, or if there's plans afoot to also make that into, I don't know, RDF in some way, if that's even necessary or important in the context of the way Fedora 4 is moving, the way Adam was just talking about.
I'm going to now go back on what I just said in a sense, but maybe I'm not. So we have to break down what I said, I think, and I said it maybe too boldly or too bluntly, because when we use a word like indexing or that sort of the talk about that sort of functionality, you can break that down into a lot of different kinds of functionality. And TEI, for take the example, is something that one wants to index. But the ways that you're going to use the indexes that you make from that kind of resource are going to be very different than the way that you're going to use the kinds of indexes you're going to make from descriptive metadata, like Julie was describing. And so in that case, I guess the short answer to your question would be, yes, UVA has occasionally experimented with breaking down TEI documents into pieces that of greater or lesser naturality, depending on how mannered we were being with the experiment. In the end, I don't know that we got a whole lot out of that. And I don't know that we would want to do that now. I don't think we're going to do that now unless we have some unexpected reason behind that. A TEI file on the whole, I mean, there's always exceptions and people use TEI in very, very strange ways on occasion, but on the whole tends to represent a document that is some kind of intellectual construct that is going to be intelligible to a patron in the end. They're going to understand that this is a poem, this is a short story, this is whatever it may be. I would suggest that unless you have some very good reason to need that you need to manage that kind of material with some granularity that's finer than the intellectual object, it's probably not going to be worth your time to break that down into RDF to get the advantages that I was talking about. Because you're going to use other kinds of indexing systems with that. You know, people have used all kinds of systems from XTF onwards, old open text or expat systems, today's more modern solar-based systems. Whatever you're doing is, I'm sure, going to suit your needs far better if it's something that's treating with a whole document at a time. And so I'd be a little cautious about that. Everything I said about what Julie said really should be confined to, you know, we're talking about description or administrative metadata, technical metadata, structural metadata, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And just to kind of follow up on that, Adam, I think you had mentioned that in your repository, you've always been using RDF for structural metadata. Is that correct?
That is, I mean, there's always exceptions, of course, but that's certainly been our principle, and basically that's the case, yes.
So how have you been doing that? I mean, have there been certain vocabularies? Are you looking at?
Oh, good. Very fair question. And the answer is going to be, is not going to be probably that useful to you, because I'm not going to name a couple of nice vocabularies that you can walk away with. We've taken a different route, and that is that we've historically, now I'm talking about the last decade or so, we've spun vocabularies out as we feel we need to locally. We've used various means of maintaining them. Without too much overhead. I don't think we've had too many problems with that sort of thing. They've been largely locally created, and when we've had the opportunity to go from some local flavor of structural metadata to something that people in the larger world are using, we do that. The big example right now for us that we're probably going to be looking at in the near-term future is ORE. That's stuff we could have used in the past, but just, again, for historical reasons, didn't get around to using, I guess would be the honest way to put it. So there isn't something that we selected early on to do that with. Part of the reason for that, though, it may or may not at all apply up where you guys are, is this. We had a program here that was being run by people like Thorny Staples and Ross Whalen. These were guys who were way out ahead of the majority of the community and moving in this direction. And, you know, 10 years ago, you could look around and the idea of finding a good RDF vocabulary for doing this kind of work was not nearly as plausible as it is today. If we started again from scratch, not that you guys are starting from scratch, but if we, you know, had made different choices and got to remake them, I don't think we would do the same things. I don't think we would be using as much locally minted vocabulary. I think we'd take more pains to do a wider search and see if we could find something that we could settle on from the larger world, because I think that would be far more plausible today than it was as we were doing this work. So I think the important and useful thing that you can draw out of our history is not to be afraid to spin up local vocabularies, if that's what makes sense, knowing that you can always project them down onto a larger graph, the larger, more, the shared graph, or, you know, vocabularies that are being used by institutions with which you're working. It's much, 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 much easier to do that than it is to settle on a vocabulary that doesn't quite mean what you want to say, but seems like it's probably the closest thing available, and then 5 years later realize that you're going to have to tease out the differences, the semantics that you'd compressed. that's ugly. Does that help in terms of the question vocabularies?
Yeah, I think we'll definitely take that recommendation to heart. That's like sound advice. But are you, Julia, Hector, are you guys looking at Portland Common Data Model at all? We're just really early on, I think, at least on my side. I don't know, Mike might have other opinions about this. But I'm just curious if folks are looking at that and if that's the way to go or if that's the first thing we should be investigating.
Well, it's actually been a while since I have tried anything with Portland Common Data Model. I looked at it early on last year and was working with it, trying to express Avalon things because I was contemplating what it would mean to try and have PCDM structure in place for a time-based media item and what, you know, song tracks on a CD, that sort of thing. And I was able to express the structure at that point, and I don't think there have been a whole lot of changes since then. There might have been some changes to PCDM, which is why I'm saying it's not something that I'm up to date with right now. But when I tried it, I was able to express structure. Ordering was particularly hard. And when I was experimenting with this, I wasn't doing this through Fedora repository. With PCDM applied there, it was before PCDM had been included in Fedora 4. I was basically experimenting with it in a Sparkle endpoint and trying to figure out how to deal with ordering that way. And so I think since the ordering in Fedora 4 has been brought in with the proxy objects, it was something I still wasn't sure. I was able to apply that things were part of other things in Fedora. I was able to try that and create some PCDM structure where songs are part of a CD. I still don't know that I was able to figure out how the ordering would work though. And that's probably something I wouldn't want to go back and try again now. I think it's part of my plan for looking at things this summer, the work that I want to do. But yeah, that was, basically, PCDM seems to work for grouping things together in a hierarchical fashion, but the ordering is still a stumbling block for me.
That's not at all a PCDM specific issue, and I'm sure you know that.
Yes.
Absolutely. That's just the nature of a graph in which you can have many contexts. So.
And to add to that, I mean, we at Penn State, we're working on PCDM, and we're working on getting Sophia to work with PCDM so that we can actually move ScholarSphere to use PCDM. And as Julie was saying, the PCDM model is relatively simple if you look at it, and I'm not a metadata person, but from what I've heard, it fits the bill. Ordering is definitely is much more complicated than it would be if you were not using RDF. That's just RDF, as Adam just pointed out. And the other thing that I would suggest, and Julie alluded to this, if you're looking into RDF, definitely look into a Sparkle endpoint, because Fedora doesn't give you Sparkle. You just have RDF data, and that's great, but how do you know that you're actually being able to link data correctly and that you're going to be able to process your data? And the other thing that is related to that is that RDF is incredibly flexible, and that is very good, but then it opens a kind of worms. How do you sort something when it has multiple values? Right? I mean, if anything can have multiple values, how do you sort something when it does have multiple values? And so it opens on some things that you probably didn't have to think before. You have a single value field, because that's easy. You just sort by that field. But if anything can have multiple values, what do you do at that point? It's not something wrong with it. You just have to think, what are the repercussions of having such an incredible, flexible data model?
So that is really gets to the heart of the move from, I don't want to say XML to RDF, or whatever to RDF. I want to say from a record-based view of the world to an assertion-based view of the world, because one thing you have to immediately grapple, and Hector's just pointing right at it, is the open world assumption, is that the knowledge that the technology you're now using was not built to help you describe this particular thing very specifically, which is often what we want to do. It was built to help lots of people merge their data and provide some kind of understandable, you know, agglomeration that of all this data. We call it the linked open, data cloud or the semantic web or whatever you want to call it. That's the purpose behind that technology. And that's often not the purpose that we have when we're doing bibliographic work or whatever. So these things just fall naturally out of the technology we're using. And it's not that we have to fight them necessarily. Sometimes maybe we do, but I think it's healthy for us not to try not to think about them as sort of aspects of the technology to be overcome. But opportunities, and again, I think, Hector, you were kind of pointing at this, opportunities to reflect on our own work and to ask where it can evolve. The real practical nitty-gritty, how do I sort this thing, for crying out loud? Well, one of the answers that comes out of using RDF and facing that question is perhaps there's more than one way to sort it. Perhaps there's a question of who's looking at it and what's important and what's relevant and what is the meaning of relevance. And that is not always helpful to be asked to suddenly consider all these deep issues while you're just trying to get that app up. But it's the big horizon, and I think it is the form which a lot of these opportunities do take, is these moments when we have to ask ourselves, well, how come this is so hard? Perhaps it's because of assumptions that we've been making about, you know, what we're doing when we do description.
I just want to jump in real quick. So we're using a new meeting technology that we've not used before, and we just realized that this only allows for a 40-minute meeting. So what we want to do is take a little brief intermission. Kevin's going to send out another meeting report.